Prem se gho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Bhubanityananda, Jaya Dito Gadadhara, Srivasa, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jaya. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinda, Shama Kund Radha Kund, Giri Go Vardhan ki jaya. Shri Vrindavan ki jaya, Navadvik Maya Pudam ki jaya, Ganga Maya ki jaya, Jamuna Maya ki jaya, Tulsi Devi ki jaya, Bhakti Devi ki jaya, Sri Ram Sankirtan Bhakta Vrinda ki jaya. Gopinamandi, Hari Hari Go, glories to the Assembly Devotees. All glories to the Assembly Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories, Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada. Clutching the lotus feet of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, I offer my obeisances unto him, as well as unto all of my instructing spiritual masters, because they are just like wish-fulfilling trees. I pray that they may bestow their mercy, thereby bringing my sadness to an end. I am very sinful and fallen, always absorbed in the affairs of material sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada has shown great mercy by forcibly pulling me out of this unfortunate situation. I'm simply a fool, being lowly and degraded, yet my Guru Maharaj has kindly sprinkled me with the shower of his divine compassion. Since I am your insignificant servant, please release me from this illusory noose of Maya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 11, text 2. Symptoms of the living entities.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Divin Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraya Krishna Svadamo Pagate Dharma Jnana Didisaha Halonasta Drisham Mesha Paranarko Duno Diptaha.
Okay, chapter 11, text 2. Shoka moha sukham dukham. Deha patischa maya ya. Swapno yata manakhyati. Sanshritirna tu vastavi. Shokam moha sukham dukham deha patischa maya swapno yat tatmanakyati sanshritirna tu vastavi shokam moha sukham dukham Deha patischa maya Swapno yatatmanakyati Sanshitirna tu vastavi
Shokamoha sukham dukham
Shokamoha sukham dukham
Deha
patischa maya
Satnayatam
Shoka. Lamentation. Moha. And delusion. Shukam. Happiness. Dukam. Distress. Deya apati. Accepting a material body. Cha. Also. Mayaya. By the influence of Maya. Svapna, a dream. Yata, just as. Atmanaha, of the intelligence. Khyati, merely an idea. Sangsriti, material existence. Na, is not. Tu, indeed. Vastavi, real. Just as a dream is merely a creation of one's intelligence, but has no actual substance, similarly, material lamentation, illusion, happiness, distress, and the acceptance of material body under the influence of Maya are all creations of my illusory energy. In other words, material existence has no essential reality. This is something you might want to know in your life. Because we take things so seriously. And ultimately, Krishna's given us this little part in his creation to let us try to play him. And it's just doomed from the beginning. Just sounds so funny. I mean, if you told anybody this, material lamentation, illusion, happiness, distress, and acceptance of the material body under the influence of Maya, these are all creations of some illusory energy. It has no essential reality. I mean, if you look at it the right way, it would take such a weight off of you. All of a sudden you think, oh, well, there's a reason for all of this, all of this suffering and all this confusion. People are so frustrated because they don't have a clue. So here it says in the purport, the word deha apati indicates the living entity falsely identifies himself with the external body and he thus transmigrates from one body to another. Apati also indicates great suffering or misfortune. Because of such false identification under the influence of illusion, the living entity experiences the miserable symptoms described here. Maya means the false concept that anything can exist without Lord Krishna or for any purpose other than the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Although the conditioned living entities are trying to enjoy material sense gratification, the result is always painful. And such painful experiences turn the conditioned soul back toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the ultimate purpose of the material creation is to bring the living entity back to the loving service of the Lord. Therefore, even the sufferings of the material world may be seen as transcendental mercy of the Lord. The conditioned soul, imagining that material objects are meant for his personal enjoyment, bitterly laments the loss of such objects. In this verse, the example is given of a dream in which the material intelligence creates many illusory objects. Similarly, our polluted material consciousness creates the false impression of material sense gratification. But this phantasmagoria, being devoid of Krishna consciousness, has no real existence. By surrendering to polluted material consciousness, the living entity is afflicted with innumerable troubles. The only solution is to see Lord Krishna within everything and everything within Lord Krishna. Thus, one understands that Lord Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the proprietor of everything, and the well-wishing friend of all living beings. In material illusion, there is no understanding of one's eternal spiritual body, nor is there knowledge of the absolute truth. Therefore, material existence, even in its most sophisticated or pious form, is always foolishness. One should not misunderstand the example of the dream to mean that the material world has no real existence. Material nature is the manifestation of the Lord's external potency. Just as the spiritual sky is a manifestation of the Lord's internal potency. Although material objects are subject to transformation, and thus they have no permanent existence, the material energy is real because it comes from the supreme reality, Lord Krishna. It is only our false acceptance of the material body as a factual self and our foolish dream that the material world is meant for our pleasure and have no real existence. They're merely mental concoctions. One should cleanse oneself of material designations and wake up to the all-pervading personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna.
Yeah.
Sounds easier than it is. Nama Shrestha Manamapi Sachi Putra Matrasarupam Rupam Tasya Grajam Urupurim Maturim Ghostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Maravashyam Prapto Jasya Pratiti Kripaya Sri Gurum Tamanatosam. So here we are again. Jivas stuck in material bodies with a lot of desires because the jiva's a happy guy. He's blissful. He's a party animal. That's all they do is enjoy. And the reason they left Krishna, I don't know why we got the idea. I can't imagine you're there in Goloka or wherever we were, and then when you said, you know, this is boring. Let's try something else. I want to play the flute. I want to be the man. I want to be the... Well, somehow or other we had that idea. Big mistake. It's all about choices. You make choices in this world and there's consequences. So we made the choice. We got put here. Krishna's given us the facility to try. And then we're so limited because at every step, there's trouble. And, you know, even in when things are going well, there's trouble. But just recently, I've had experiences of devotees going through hardships that are not just a normal... You know, we all have the troubles in our lives and stress and the kleshas are there. But you really see it clear when somebody dies. And I just had this experience, a dear friend of mine, she was alone when she died, not with devotees. And when they took her to the hospital, somehow or other they called me. Anyway, and then some devotees that were near her, maybe 2 hours from where this person died, they took it upon themselves to go to the hospital, and because what they do is if somebody doesn't claim you, if you die and nobody claims you, there's no next of kin, then after 10 days they just cremate you and then that's the end of it. So the devotees knew this and they went to the social worker at the hospital and they explained the situation and they made an arrangement so that the devotees could come in and see that devotee, and they gave her garland and tulsi and maha water, and they had a kirtan for 2.5 hours in there. And then they also had a special thing when they cremated her, they gave her the ashes. So, and it was amazing, the staff at the hospital commented that these people that were, there was 3 of these devotees that were doing this for this person that they didn't even, I mean, they knew her, and they had known her from 25 years ago in the movement. But they hadn't seen her for all these years and hadn't really had anything to do with her. But because we have this, because Prabhupada has come and he's given us knowledge. So when somebody dies, we know what to do. Devotee knows you got to do something. You can't just go, oh, well, and cry. You have to take the bull by the horns and you have to do something. And that's the way this mission, Srila Prabhupada has come and given us Lord Chaitanya's mission. And he's given it to us. And now he's saying, what are you going to do with it? I was listening last night and Prabhupada said, the spiritual master gives you the thing. That's how he called it. He gives you the thing. And then it's up to you to take the thing. And then he was talking about the creeper in the heart and how you have to weed and how you have to be careful that weeds don't grow up. And sometimes weeds look like the creeper. And sometimes because of aparaj, we become covered. So as far as I'm concerned, as far as reading Prabhupada's books and doing seva for a few years, the only thing that can really hurt devotees and stop devotees in their progress is aparaj. And there's a whole bunch of offenses. But somehow or other, the devotee has to take the humble position of a straw in the teeth, lower than a straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. And he wants us to take shelter of this shelter that he's given us is powerful. If you come under Prabhupada's shelter and follow Prabhupada, and then you lend your ear to this transcendental knowledge, Prabhupada gave Satsarupa an easy thing one time. He was confused, he was busy, his schedule, he was working. This is way in the early days. And Prabhupada said four things. He wrote it down. Health, sadhana, seva, and read. Health, sadhana, seva, read. Think about it. If you do those things, take care of your health because you have to. Then you do sadhana and seva and read. Prabhupada stressed, read the books. If you don't read the books, you're not going to have this. So you have to take advantage. You have to schedule it into your life. Somehow or other, you have to schedule it into your life to read Prabhupada's books every single day, just like you chant your japa, just like you get up in the morning and you take a shower and you brush your teeth. You have to take it upon yourself to become a devotee. And I just know from my personal experience of chanting Hare Krishna for over 45 years and trying to follow sadhana bhakti, which is, it's blissful, but it's really not easy. But if you don't do it every day, it gets even worse. That's the hard thing. If you're chanting your japa and you're going along every day for weeks, months, whatever, and then, you know, something happens, like you visit relatives or somebody dies and you go to see him, changes your whole schedule and it completely blows out your, to me anyway, because I have this shelter in the morning. I have a few hours in the morning that I take shelter. And if I don't do that, well, even when I do that, I have trouble the rest of the day. But if I don't do that, I don't even know what's going to happen. I'm trying to find this really beautiful reference in this little book. It's a little excerpt from a book. It's Reflections, Illuminations on Aparad, which I read every day just because it's just so hard to be good. At least it is for me. I don't know about everybody else, but it says here, sometimes in the performance of sadhana, anger arises. I thought it was just me, because I'm an Irish, angry, Irish mode of ignorance type. But according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, while churning the ocean of the holy name, sometimes waves of anger rise within the mind. These waves will gradually subside by steadily chanting and crying out to Krishna. If the anger distraction becomes insurmountable, then one should just continue chanting while addressing his anger with the following meditation. Okay, so you're angry and you're chanting, and here's what you say. What should I do with this anger that has suddenly appeared? The proper use of anger is against offenders and enemies of God or the devotees. But I see that with my body, my body is greedy for sense enjoyment, and I am a great enemy of Krishna and devotees. Instead of always remembering the lotus feet of Krishna and thinking of his happiness, I am always engaged in searching for my own happiness in gossip and fault finding. I'm not looking at all at myself. I'm not seeing my own faults. Therefore, first of all, I have to express anger at myself, I who am such a great offender and enemy to devotees. I have to show anger at myself by beating my mind. I must purify myself. I have to try in every way to have exemplary character and sincerely serve Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava. I read that every day because, you know, I have the hope that someday, you know, I'll actually hear it. There's another little thing that comes from the last few days of Bhaktisiddhanta, where he told his disciples, look within, amend yourself, rather than to pry into frailties of the others. In this world of Maya, averse to the Lord, full of trials and tribulations, only patience, humility, and respect for others are our friends, for Hari Bhajan. Patience, humility, and respect for others. These are our only friends for Hari Bhajan. Lord Gaurasundara puts his devotees in various difficulties. He does. I have personal experience of this. He does it just to test their patience and strength of mind. Success depends on their good fortune. When faults in others misguide and delude you, have patience, introspect, find faults in yourself, and know that others cannot harm you unless you harm yourself. So with these few meditations, I try to practice sadhana bhakti every day, in my japa and in my reading. It's just, I'm going to give an example. Prabhupada, this is the 1944 Back to God. And I just fell out of a bookshelf last night into my lap, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen this for a while. So I just, in the first page, Prabhupada writes, message of His Divine Grace, and there's a picture of Bhaktisiddhanta. This is the very first page on the very first Back to Godhead. Prabhupada writes, first appearance on the Vyas Puj Day, 1944. The Back to Godhead, an instrument for training the mind and educating human nature to rise up to the plane of soul-spirit. That's the mission statement of the Back to Godhead. So Prabhupada starts out, and this is quoting, this is Bhaktisiddhanta verbatim. 2 days before he left, I have most probably given many troubles in the mind. So many people may have been troubled by me because they thought that I am their enemy. This is another point about Sankirtan and about book distribution. Wherever we go, and I noticed this when I first met the devotees back in, whenever I met them, like 70, that wherever I saw them, they were always trying to give me something. Incense, book, prasadam, something. They were always, they were like, it didn't bother me, I like it, but some people bothers it. My father used to say, why you gotta go out and pester people all the time? Let's just let them come to your temple and then you sell them your books to the temple. You know, why you gotta go out there? Why don't you just sell cars like everybody else? You know, you can sell cars all week, make money, and then you can go out on the weekend and bother people with your books. And my father used to tell, that was his idea. Anyway, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, I have most probably given trouble to many people. Some of them might have thought about me that I am their enemy because I was obliged to speak the plain truth for service and devotion toward the absolute Godhead. I have given all these troubles only for the reason that they may turn their face toward the Lord without any desire for gain and with unalloyed devotion. I hope someday or other they may understand me rightly. This is Bhaktisiddhanta. Comes to save the wretched fallen souls in Kali Yuga. This just happened the other day. I was out on Sankirtan, as per usual. And I was running around this parking lot, approaching cars and people. And this happens from time to time. It's like nobody will even like, no, no, get out of here. One lady said, get out of here, leave me alone. And I think it's maybe 20 or maybe 15 or 20 people that I approached, you know, walked up with a book on yoga and a lollipop, whatever it was, just walked up and smiled, hi, get out of here. And I caught in the corner of my eye, was this old guy with a white beard hanging down. And he was watching the scene from the side, you know, just wondering, what the heck, right? And another lady, she opens her window. I walked up to the car, she opens her window and says, get away from me, I don't want anything you have. So the guy can't stand it anymore and he yells at him, he goes, hey, buddy, are you just looking to get your ass kicked, or what's your problem? So I go up to the guy, and I go, no, this is what I'm trying to give him, and I hand him Chant Be Happy. And he grabs the book, and he goes, oh, I love the Beatles. He's got a white beard, he's about 70, of course he likes the Beatles. So that changed his mode, And I said, it's unfortunate because these books talk about inner peace and we're all looking for that. And he goes, you know, when they went to India, that's when it really got heavy. I said, that's it. So I whipped out a Gita and I gave him the Bhagavad Gita. And I said, here's the Bhagavad Gita. And he's looking at the pictures because I always open it to the pictures. And I say, look, I show him Prabhupada and I say, he's the guru. His students did the art. Check that out. And people look at that. And he was looking and he goes, wow, I always wanted to know what happened to the Beatles. Which was great, you know, I mean, that was nice. So I said, well, now you know, you know. So he goes, well, I really wish you luck in your endeavor, because you could see what was going on out there. Now, as soon as he left, and I went right back to it, because I was thinking, maybe I should go somewhere else, all these people hate me. But it's really not like that. It's not, we used to go to the airport every day, and there's three terminals in Chicago. And we sometimes somebody would have a good day in B, so the next day, I'm going to B. B's good, right? Doesn't mean anything. And, you know, if I should be out there standing with me, we'd be doing the same thing we did every day for years, and it wasn't working. People were like, get out of here, get out of here, get a job. And Vice looked at me and go, Div, what happened? We were doing the same thing yesterday and we were buying books. What happened? So the thing is that you have to persevere and you have to take shelter. And I was out there, it's 100 degrees plus. And I just walked up to him, trying to be as nice as I can. And I wear decent clothes and I don't look like a slob. You know, I want people to like me. And you wonder, what happened? What, I look in the mirror like, what, do I really look that bad today? Jeez. But then somehow or other, something nice happens and somebody buys a book. Another really cool story. I was in this other parking lot and I had given the books to a book to this lady with three kids and they had lollipops. And I was distributing, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes later, I was walking by that van and the kids are screaming and crying in the van. And she sees me and she goes, there he is! You! Come here! And I come over and I'm like, what did I do? And she goes, yoga books. I need two more. Because one kid had the perfection of yoga. And the other two kids, they were little kids, 3, 4, 5-year-old kids. They were fighting with the book. Mine, mine, mine. They're eating a lollipop. They're fighting with the book. Oh, take it easy. So I gave them each book. And I said, here's a pink one for you. Here's a brown one for you. And they all had books. And they all were peaceful. And the lady was so happy. She gave me another $10. But this is what happens. I'm saying another, this is another, this is in the same parking lot. I was talking to this lady, they had this huge truck, and this lady was putting all her stuff in the truck, and she bought a book from me on the side. And her husband came back and got in the driver's seat, and he looked over and he saw the book, and he goes, I don't believe it. So he gets out of the truck and comes back, and he goes, I work at Walmart, I'm security over at number 4. And he goes, I've chased you out of that place at least a dozen times. Nice to meet you. Well, what's going on? And then he asked me what I did because we never got to that. Whenever he'd see me, he'd come out and say, I told you to get out of here. Come on, the boss told me you got to go. Well, that was it. I'd leave. So then he buys a Gita. His girlfriend's holding the book. You know, and she had a book. I don't know which book it was. She's looking. I guess, well, what else you got? You know, so I gave him the Gita and he bought the Gita. And anyway, I said, I'll see you down there at number 4. You have to rotate these things because even though it's the golden age, you never know it sometimes when you go out there and you see what's going on. You know, you walk in, you got your vendor's bag of harem. Let me go on with this. This is really good. I wanted to get, there's another paragraph that's really heavy. And this is the first page of the first Back to Godhead. I advise all to preach the teachings of Rupa Raghunath with all energy and resources. Our ultimate goal shall be to become the dust of the feet of Sri Sri Rupa Raghunath Goswami. You should all work conjointly. We've heard this. Prabhupada said if you don't cooperate, the thing won't go on. Remember, he gives you the thing. Don't wreck the thing. Cultivate the thing. Worship the thing. Take care of the thing. Somebody gives you a little plant or a little puppy or a little kitten, you take care of it, wouldn't you? So Prabhupada has given us a mission. It's not just your own creeper and it's not just your own devotion. It's a whole mission meant to save the entire universe. So we got to step up to the plate. Devotees have to make it their mission. First page. 1944. The war isn't even over. It's a long time ago. First page. You should all work conjointly under the guidance of the spiritual master with the view to serve the absolute, the personality of Godhead. You should live somehow or other without any quarrel. Without any quarrel. One more time. You should live together without any quarrel. It's impossible, but you have to try. You have to try. It may be impossible, but if you didn't try, you'd learn. If you go up there and you go, look, I tried my best and it didn't work, they go, all right, you tried. But if you just went, nah, that was lame, they go, you're lame. So you don't want to be lame. Lord Chaitanya is asking us to step up here. Do not give up, do not please give up the service of God in spite of all dangers and all criticisms. Do not be disappointed, for most people in the world do not serve the personality of Godhead. They do not give up your own service, which is your everything and your very all in all. Neither reject the process of chanting and hearing the transcendental holy name. You should always chant the transcendental name of the Lord with patience and forbearance like a tree, with humbleness like a straw. Now get this. We wish that this mass of our body of flesh and blood be sacrificed at the altar of the preaching Sankirtan movement propagated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are not desirous of becoming a hero of work or a reformer of religion, but our reality may be identified with the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath, for this is our everything. The flow of the transcendental tide of attraction for devotion will never be blocked, and with all your energy, you got any energy, Prabhus? With all your energy, devote yourself for fulfilling the desire of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There are so many amongst you who are well qualified and able workers. We have no other desire whatsoever. That's a pretty heavy statement coming out. Just, wow. I mean, it's just amazing. I think, I wonder what Prabhupada wrote in that first one. Boom. So here's a little more on that nectar here from Bhaktisiddhanta. At the portal of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is situated in the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Sri Mayapur, shall be written, Bhaktir Vijayate, Bhakti is ever glorious. In the center near the Avidyaharana Sarasvat Natya Mandir should be written, Sankirtanam Vijayate Taram, which means, Sankirtan is always superlatively glorious. At every step, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, at every step, Bhava Mahadha Vagni Nirvapana, at every step, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vittarana, at every step, Vidya Varujivana, at every step, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, at every step, Purnamritas Vardhanam, at every step, Sarvatma Snapanam, there will be a fire pit constantly blazing with the seven-tongued flame of Sri Krishna Sankirtan. You know what the seven-tongued flame of Sankirtan is? I know you know. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, and that's what he just explained here, is the first verse of Shikshashtakam. That is the seven-tongued flame of Sankirtan. You have to take shelter. Why? Because Sankirtanam Vijayatetaram. It is always superlatively glorious. Whatever we do, wherever we go, we can perform Sankirtan. You don't have to wear a dhoti and tilak and stand on the street and sing and dance. You don't have to have a book bag. But you do have to participate in Sankirtan. Sankirtan, you can just say Hari Bol to somebody. You can say Hare Krishna. I always use my phone. I also recommend going to visit any devotees that go into the hospital, because when I did that, I went and I read the Radha Damodar for a while. And I got to tell you, the rest of my day was a lot more sober than it usually is. When you see somebody suffering like that, and he's your friend, and you're trying to communicate with him and talk to him, and you see the difference, it's amazing what we take for granted. I highly recommend you make a call to Nanak and go visit him if he's visitable again. And associate with him, tell him Hari Bol, read to him. But just notice the difference between his situation and mine. I just got up and got my voucher for parking and walked out, and they let me out. You have to remember that this life is temporary. We have no idea when this is over. We don't know. We got plans, we got all kinds of things that we're thinking about and worrying about. But the truth is, we have a little limited time. And this is an opportunity, a once in a lifetime of the universe opportunity to engage in the highest benefit by going and telling some jiva about Krishna. Throw some little books in your car or some mantra cards or just say the name. If you just say the name, listen to this. This verse is worth remembering. This is also 11th canto. Hava Yogendra says, the personality of God, it is so kind to the conditioned souls, if they call upon him by speaking his holy name, even unintentionally or unwillingly, the Lord is inclined to destroy innumerable sinful reactions in their hearts. Therefore, when a devotee who has taken shelter of his lotus feet chants the holy name with genuine love, the Supreme Lord can never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who has been captured, who has captured the Lord within his heart, is to be known as Bhagavat Pradhan, most exalted devotee of the Lord. So if you go to somebody, like when I'm in that elevator and everybody's crying and miserable because they're going to see, because nobody goes to the hospital unless something horrible happened. I hate going there. It's hellish. You go in there, the place is haunted and it's dirty and it's creepy and every single person is crying and suffering. Their dream just became a nightmare, right? They're in their dream, everything's fine, I'm a yuppie, I got cars and boats and houses, and then daddy gets a heart attack or somebody gets hit by a bus, and then all of a sudden, you're in a hotel waiting across the street at Shands as you're gonna die or live. This is life. This is what happens when you wake up. I've mentioned it before, I dream a lot. I'm sleeping, I'm having these great dreams, and I wake up, and I'm like, wow. Where was I? That's how it is. People are in this world living their life with their families and their whatever they got going on, and they believe in it. And because of that, they have to suffer. The suffering is because of the illusion. If we didn't identify with it, it's not so painful. Don't make the mistake of thinking the devotees don't have to suffer, because that would be a mistake. The Prabhupada gives the example of Devaki. They put you in jail, and every time you have a kid, they kill your kid. That's pretty heavy. And that's Devaki. Who are we? So we may come across hardships and troubles in this dream that we're going through. But if somehow or other, if we can daily practice, what I say, health, sadhana, seva, read. I find times when I'm, like I had a phone call late last night, somebody wanted to, hey dude, your family's in Greece, why don't you come and party? Like, yeah, it's funny, it's kind of a joke, you know. But I was like, no thanks, you know, I got a schedule here. I got to get up in the morning and go to Mangalarti, so I can't just be doing whimsical things. But when your mind says something and it's not peaceful and it's not nice, all you really have to do, if you can't chant, I do chant, but I find it easier when I just open a book. Any place I touch any of these books, the first thing that happens is it takes away pain. Immediately I think, oh, well, it's not so bad. I mean, you could open it anywhere and just say, boom, and read something and see what happens. Because even if you're practicing sadhana, and even if you're chanting 16 rounds, and even if you're engaged in seva, and even if you are reading, there's so many times during the day, at least there is in my mind, where my mind's offering all kinds of funny things, stupid things, crazy things. People offer them, and I hear them, and things just churn up for no reason. So what do you do? You take shelter. When you're driving, all you have to do is put in a disc or put on whatever your device, your favorite device is, and just hear anything you want. You can sit in this temple and listen to Maya Purushanai and Prabhupada chanting. You can do that. It's actually possible. But you have to take that first step. You have to get up in the morning, you have to take a shower, and then you got to find your beads, and then you got to chant, and then you got to find the books. Everybody's got a book table. Everybody's got a shelf in their house. Dust it off. Find a book. Read a word. Prabhupada says here, engage in preaching instead of politics. It is said that the Muslim mullah ventures no further than the walls of his mosque. And Prabhupada says, all preaching that is limited by this concept should be put to an end this very day. All of us should unite in purpose and flood the lands with waves of Krishna conscious preaching, crossing oceans, covering the world, penetrating the universal shell. If we do this, our guru will be properly honored. Oh, please make a pledge on this very day to give up all petty fault finding. So, those are a few thoughts that I had. And I invite anyone to please have some comments, questions, reflections.
Can you remember the four sentences in that paragraph just now?
Which one?
The last one, the last paragraph, the four sentences.
I don't know which one I read.
Something about Muslim, something.
Oh, the Muslim mullah.
Yeah, it's a really...
Yeah. The Muslim mullah, that's a quote that the preaching doesn't go outside your church or your temple. Prabhupada makes the point, the Muslim mullah ventures no further than the walls of his mosque. Prabhupada says, all preaching that is limited by that concept should be put to an end this very day. In other words, you got to take it out. If we sit here and chant real nice and have real nice prasadam and have beautiful deities, that's all fine and good, but I don't see any new faces coming in. Anybody else? Did I miss somebody? I didn't see them. I've been coming to this temple for 20 years. And I don't care how sweet and how blissful it is in here. If you don't take it outside, that's what preaching is. In case anybody didn't get that, this is a missionary movement. This movement may offend people because we're so overzealous to preach. Bhakti Sananta said, please forgive me. I may have offended. Someone may misunderstand and think I'm your enemy. Because if you come up and say, hey, let's party, let's eat meat. And we say, no, 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 that's nonsense. Somebody might think, well, what's the matter with you? You're a party pooper. You're no fun, right? But the truth is, Bhakti Sananta said, I'm just trying to help them. I tell them the plain truth. When I meet somebody out there, and they come and they ask me, because they see yoga all over our books, they come and they ask me about Hatha Yoga. They always want me to teach them some asana. What am I going to do? Sit down there in the mall and show them this? I say, here, there's eight kinds of yoga. They go, there is? They didn't know that. They don't know yoga. They don't know what yoga is. Yogurt, yoga, they don't know. Who knows? But they know that it's something, and people are interested and attracted to it. Whenever I give somebody yoga, somebody grabs it. Now, there are some people out there that grab and go, yoga, oh, that's not Christian. But many, many people, even Christians, grab and go, oh, yoga, it's good, it's positive, because they think it's for your health. They think it's for better sense gratification, basically. So when they ask me, please teach me the lotus position. You know what I tell them? I go, I don't know. Because I tell them I'm a yoga teacher. They go, what do you do? I go, I'm a yoga teacher. And I go, let me teach you yoga. And I give them a mantra card. I give them a book and we chant the mantra and that's yoga. Get on with it. You know, now it's up to you. You want to sit in a yoga posture and chant, that's okay. Or you want to stand on your head and pull your nose, the prophet said that. That's okay too, you want to do that. But that's not my thing. You know, my thing is bhakti. So we teach bhakti yoga. And that's all we know. That's all I know. When somebody wants something from me, they get a book. The guy came, it's so funny. Something's wrong with my AC. So I called Sears and they go, we got a free estimate. So the guy drives off from Sears to test everything. The guy drove from Orlando, actually Longwood. 140 miles the guy drives. He gets out of his car and he's like doing his knee and I go, what's the matter? He goes, I got a cramp. I just drove from Orlando. I don't have a Sears in Gainesville? I mean, I called Gainesville Sears and they said, well, send a guy out. They send a guy from Orlando. Anyway, I gave him the Bhagavad. He's a nice guy, Chinese guy. I didn't buy his thing. I said I wanted the free estimate, man. I wasn't going to buy it. It's $8,000 to buy this thing. I just wanted the free estimate and see how much it costs. So I sold him a Bhagavad Gita before he went back to Orlando. But because that's all I have. I don't know what to tell you. I said, I'm sorry that he drove all the way from Orlando to sell me something and I didn't buy. But they said it was a free estimate, no obligation, right? Anyway, so I sold him a Bhagavad Gita when he was leaving. But because that's all I had. That was the point I was making. That's all we have. Prabhupada came. Luckily, it's everything. All we got is Krishna. Luckily, Krishna is everything. So when somebody comes up to Bodhi and says, what? About anything. You can ask any questions. Like the famous, when they asked Tripurari about the energy crisis. The lady said, will this book tell me about the energy crisis? And Tripurari said, sure. And some other devotee said, oh, you lied. Prabhupada said, you think he lied. Everything's in the Bhagavatam. You want to know something? Read the Bhagavatam.
Sorry.
So point one, I was thinking, if we kind of imitate like some of these Christian groups, maybe like the Jehovah Witness, and how they're preaching, they go out like in pairs. And I guess that build more confidence within them, because when they're in pairs, if somebody attack one, the other one could help defend himself. So what's your idea about that? I was thinking, you know, like you may have some insight into
pairs.
Like,
are you kidding? Try to find somebody to go out and book distribution. I stand here and I say, I dare, I double dog dare anybody to come on out and follow me around. Pairs. Yeah, remember when Vice visits, me and Vice should go out and be a pair. No, I don't mean to be negative for Bruce. All glories to all the service that I'm sure you're very busy doing. I really am. I'm sincere about that. I'm not trying to criticize. But this is a mission. And a mission, just like you said, even the people that don't have spiritual knowledge, and I'll argue with anybody all day if they want, there is no spiritual knowledge in Christianity, I'm sorry, not that I've seen. And they're going out and they're preaching. So what's our excuse? Vaishnavas, we actually have Prabhupada and Krishna, we actually have Shastra. How lame are we? With a capital L, we're lame. If we don't go out and share this with others, you don't have to do what I do. It would be kind of nice if once in a while. But I don't care. I love what I do. When I get out there, and I'm trying to get out sometimes is hard, but once you get out there and you see the scene, you have to be compassionate for these poor people going to the mall or the Target or Walmart or wherever they're going. It's so ridiculous. I was talking to Rade yesterday, and her friends live, her cousins who are Serbian, her dad's an engineer and they live in Kuwait. And they see commercials about America and they wanted to come here. So Roddy's like, yeah, you could come and go to Disney and Universal. And they said, no, we want to go to Walmart. Get back out of here. Are you kidding? I mean, I go to Walmart to work. I go there to distribute books. And I go there if I need lollipops or if I need water sometimes I buy, you know, because you have to. But can you imagine being in another country thinking, boy, I can't wait to get to America. I'm going to go to Walmart. What the hell is that? How lame is that? I mean, I go to Walmart every day. You don't want to go there. People get run over in the parking lot. Lady hit a cop the other day. This old lady gets in her car. I saw it coming. You know, this cop's patrolling slowly, real cop too, not a security guard, a regular sheriff. Patrolling through the lot, driving slow. Unless you're blind, you have to see him. But this old lady, she's in her 90s, she gets in her car, starts it up, boom, T-bones the cop, right in the door. It was funny, but the poor lady was freaking out. So I went up to the lady and said, it's no big deal, happens all the time. Here, gave her a book, take it easy. You know, the cop got it. The cop was livid. Young cop, old lady. I said, hey, take it easy on her. Oh, geez. Meanwhile, I left. Before he asked me what I was doing. Whatever. But I gave the lady a book. I felt sorry for her. But this is what's going on out there. When I go out there, every single day I go out there, you see some horrible crisis in a family, which is a little stupid, insignificant thing. But to them, it's a crisis. They might have a two-year-old who's just screaming and crying when they came out of Target, you know? And it's like, ah! I walk up to them and go, here, give them a lollipop. Works every time. It does. You put a lollipop in the kid's mouth, shuts them up every single time. Kids eat prasadam. Then I work for the family. Anyway, there's 7 billion people out here, okay? And I say, my contention is that most of them are lost. Most of them don't have a clue. So we have to take it upon ourselves to try to help them. It's all Krishna's. Look at it this way. It's all Krishna's family. And they're lost. And, you know, he doesn't want us to go out and, you know, kill them or beat them. He wants us to go and say, here's something to eat. Come this way. Come home. Lead them. Lead them toward the light. That's our job as Prabhupada followers. No matter who you are, if you consider yourself a follower of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, you have to consider yourself a missionary. And you have to do missionary work. Okay? Everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah! That was easy. How do you know? Anybody else besides you, Shrivatam? Anybody else got something to say? I can't inspire.
I said,
I tell you one thing, I was inspired listening to Maharaj. When Maharaj was telling us about how he joined and how he finally got the touch of Bhagavad Gita, and the guy let him look at it, he goes, I'm not giving it to you, I'm not letting it out of my sight. I went out after that class, and everybody that got near me got a Gita. I have Gitas. Vaish gave me another pallet of Gitas. You get near me, you're getting a Gita. Because I was thinking, how, we take it for granted. I was riding my bike down the street, I'm 16, and then everybody hands me a Gita on the street, right? Over there in hell or wherever, here's the Bhagavad Gita. Wow, I finally found it. Can I read it? No, I'll just leave it for a half hour and you're giving it back. No, that just really stuck in me. I was like, you can't get a Bhagavad Gita? When I had my car crash and they went through the whole litigation, the day they swore me in on a Bhagavad Gita because they did their homework and they found out I was a Hare Krishna. I wasn't a Christian. So when they took me into court, the guy took the Bible and he took Prabhupada's Gita and put it up there and I swore on the Gita. And I said, where'd you get the Gita? And the guy goes, well, you can get them anywhere. Airports, train stations, on the street. But when I heard him say you couldn't find the Gita, but then even when he found a guy that had it, the guy was wouldn't even let it out of his grip. I was like, man, I'm giving people Gitas today. So if anybody gets near me, gets a Gita. You come near me again, I'll give you another one. I got about 9 different kinds of books in the trunk too, so I'll load you up if you really like it. I met a lady that was into yoga, and she came back. I gave her the Perfection of Yoga. Didn't look at it, didn't read it at all, obviously. She came back, and she said, where are the asanas? You know. So I just piled her up with a whole bunch of books. I said, just look through there, you'll find some. I told her, I mean, I always tell them there's 8 kinds of yoga. People don't know this, you know. I said, this is bhakti yoga. It's kirtan. It's, you know, it's different. But, you know, they think yoga means, you know, you're going to sit there in a position. Thank you very much for listening, Prabhus. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Anyway.